We're joined now by George Gurgel, coming off an interesting past few days from the transition from UFC onto Strikeforce. How's everything going?
Everything is going great, man. I don't really celebrate Thanksgiving. I went to the gym. I got my running done and ate a little bit of turkey by itself with some greens. And just another day for me, you know, excited.
How did everything go down over the past few days, going from, you know, from your point of view, from the UFC release up until your signing with Strikeforce?
You know, some people are just misunderstanding what I'm trying to say. I can't be released from a childhood dream, which the UFC has always been for me. That's why I moved here, and be truly and thoroughly happy about it. You know, I'm not thinking of Strikeforce as a step down whatsoever. It's disappointing for anybody to get released from any job, what it is. So that doesn't matter what it is. But at the same time, I'm very, very excited to start a new chapter of my life, man, to fight in the organization, you know, in the new competition, a new ring, a new cage, a new location. You know, I display a set of skills. I'm just so tired of everybody saying, George, you're jiu-jitsu. So, you know, I'm going to come out a brand new George Gurgel for Strikeforce. I'm very excited about, you know, bringing new tools and new skill level, you know, new game plans, new everything. And it's just a new chapter of my life, and I'm really excited about it, really.
How did it happen so quickly? Or it seemed like 1 second you were with the UFC, and then, you know, a couple minutes later you were with Strikeforce.
I think I'm just a blessed man. You know, like I said, I really, a lot of times in the past, I fought because for my fans. I really care for my fans. I don't know why I have this humongous fan base. Definitely, in my personal opinion, never because of my performance. My performances, I've always been disappointed with them and considered them subpar. But I think my fans, especially my students, see that I fight so much hard and there's no quit in me. And a lot of people relate to this and like to watch me fight. So, it was great for me to have the opportunity to be. I was jobless for less than actually 15 minutes. You know.
Was it your manager who set up the deal? Did you call Strikeforce, or how did that
kind of... I told Monty. Monty's been my manager since the beginning. You know, I'm very loyal to my manager. And I said, Monty, I want to do this. You know, if I get released, which I knew I would regardless. A lot of people said, George, there's no way. Every time they see your name on the card, they know they're going to see a fight. You almost always get a fight of the night, you know, and he always brings so much... to the table, the fans love to see a fight, not going to get released. And I know that the sports become so much about, they do statistics now. You know, they do statistics, punching stats and guard passing statistics that I knew that the only thing that really would secure your job, even a boring win, would secure your job over a huge and crazy exciting loss. So I knew that I was in jeopardy of being released. So I told Monty that would be an option. And when the UFC officially sent me that the devastating email, you know, nobody likes to read that, and that you've been released. Not only I got a lot of calls from the UFC, everybody from the office, I know everybody there. You know, it's been my family for the last, you know, 3 years. I know everybody there. They called me saying, George, I'm so sorry, going to miss you. At the same time, I was like, okay, I got the letter. Within 15 minutes later, I was signed with the best league outside of the UFC, or, you know, the most competitive and the most prestigious, which is Strikeforce. So I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for my new opportunity. I'm grateful for my new team. I'm grateful for being healthy and ready to go. So I'm going to put the bad things behind me, and I'm going to listen to what people have to say if they decide to criticize me for the UFC releasing me. I'm just excited to step into Strikeforce and bring new flavor and stir things up on the lightweight division there.
I mean, that makes a true adage. They say, you know, when one door closes, another door opens. It's definitely...
You have to look at it this way, bro. You have to look at it this way in any job you have in your life. You can't look at the sky and be asking, why me, why me, why did this happen to me? Why do I have to get injured in the show and lose the show? Why do I have to perform bad here? Why do I have to get my jaw broken? Why does my student do so well when people criticize me for teaching so many people such great things but not doing myself? Why do you can't do this? You just, like you say, one door closes, the other one opens. I'm gonna keep trucking. There's no stopping me. Everybody that knows me, watches me fight, all my students know that I will not stop until I reach my goals. And for me, it's another opportunity. As long as I'm healthy and I'm ready to fight and showcase my skills, there are always gonna be fans and students, people there that really love to watch me fight. And as long as that many people care, I am good to go.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, all of your fights in the UFC have all been very exciting. Has Strikeforce told you when you'd be fighting next?
No, but I want to know. Well, I just had a couple bone spurs sticking out of my elbow, so I had surgery Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Day before yesterday, so I already ran 6 miles today, so I'm good to go. You know, it was a minor surgery. It was just going, my arm froze off because there have been little bone spurs sliding around my elbow for the last year or so. So I'm going to take a little bit of time off. I'm going to Brazil. I always go to Brazil to see my dad during Christmas. And train with my home guys, you know, where I started all, and come back fresh, and hopefully my arm will be, they say in 3 weeks I'll be fully training, punching, grappling. So, you know, hopefully by January, you know, end of January, I'll be making my debut in Strikeforce if everything works the way I want to get back so soon as I can.
And outside of the UFC, Strikeforce certainly does boast a couple of very good lightweights in Gilbert Melendez and Josh Thompson. What do you think about those guys or a potential fight with one of them?
Those guys are top of the world. They rank higher than, besides BJ Penn in the UFC. If you go on the world rankings, they are right up there beating everybody else in the lightweight division.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh Thompson is ranked higher than any other lightweight in the UFC besides BJ Penn. And maybe Sean Sherk, I'm not sure. Kenny Florian, of course. Kenny is my buddy, you know, great fighter. But besides Kenny and maybe Shirk and the BJ Penn and the Josh Thompson and Gilbert Melendez are right up there. So it's not like I'm going to get easier fights, you know. Maybe I'll get, they're not going to give me those guys right off the bat. My goal is to climb the ladder like anybody else's, you know. I'm going to come to the Strikeforce prepared. I'm going to get my first fight out of the way, my second fight out of the way. And hopefully my third, fourth fight, you know, I get to fight the contenders, and we'll go from there.
I mean, Strikeforce, they put on some really big shows, too. I think they had the largest indoor record in the United States, I think, for an MMA show with the show they had a couple of years ago with Frank Shamrock on it. So, I mean, the show. Yeah, you could be seeing some real big fights over there. Were you surprised that the UFC released you?
Yes. I'm not going to lie. I mean, not from the Joe Silva standpoint. I'm very good friends with Joe Silva, and we've known each other for a long time. He says, George, I hate to do this to you, but it's about, I lost two in a row. It never happened to me. Mm-hmm. Even though if you pay attention to the way the fights were going, it's just me being dumb, man. I mean, with the Cole Miller fight, I beat him, like, decisively, easily for 3 rounds, got caught in the last 10 seconds with the triangle, and Aaron Riley, I hurt my shin in the second round, couldn't kick him anymore. I won the first round, and somehow my retarded head veered from the game plan, and I lost the decision because I was having too much fun striking with Aaron Riley, which I should have just taken to the ground and tried to submit him. So, you know, yes, I was surprised because Dana always says, dude, I like fighting. He always comes to me every time after I fight. He gets off his seat, and he comes to meet me in the back, and he always says, George, great fight like always. Lorenzo Fertitta does the same thing, you know, I'm a like Lorenzo a lot. He always comes to me, shakes my hand, winner loses, goes, dude, he always put on the best fight. I love to watch you fight. They come to me and say this, but I appreciate it. I know they'd like to keep me around, but it's a business. I lost 3 in a row, and I knew that losing 2 in a row in the way this sport's going right now would probably put me up for being released from the UFC, and it happened, you know. It's heartbreaking, obviously. But, like I said, I don't look that way. I'm not going to look down and start picking up an alcoholism habit because I got stuck in the UFC.
That's
the UFC got me. I'm going to start drinking booze and whatever, and I'm just going to train people you eat. No, you know. It got me, you know, of course, it's very humiliating. I printed the letter that the UFC gave me. I will frame it, and I will put it next to my room here in my bed, and I'll read it every day. So one day when I'm the champion of the world and things turn around and I fight to my potential, it can take a year, it can take 3-4 years, I'll go back to that letter and I'll read it and I will look back at everybody and say, ha, how do you guys like me now? So it's nothing personal against anybody. I love everybody at the UFC. I love Joe Silva. I love Dana. I mean, always have loved Dana. He's so straightforward. What he says is what it is. You know, he loves guys to come to fight, but I lost 3 in a row and they had to release me. I'm sure that if I put a great fight in the capture belt or in 2 years from now or a year or whatever, you know, I'll be back. As long as I keep improving and giving the fans what the fans want and winning fights, I'll be fine.
Have you spoken with, you've obviously been seen a lot with Rich Franklin. You two seem to be very close. Have you spoken with him about what's gone down?
Yeah, about me or about him?
About yourself.
Yes, I mean, Rich said the same thing, you know, everybody's been saying Marcus Davis is a very good friend of mine too. You know, I'm best friends with Rich because we live close together and we train every day together. But Marcus Davis is like family to me. And I saw him, they called me and go, dude, apparently, this never happened before. I've been getting news from my manager and from my agent. I'm in like the head news of every MMA website, every out there, you know, that I went to Strikeforce. That means that people care, and I'm happy about it.
That's true.
You know, I was signed within less than half an hour of being released. That doesn't happen very often to anyone, you know. So that means there are a lot of people there that want to see me fight. There are a lot of organizations interested in me, and I'm going to be grateful for the good things. Rich said, George, I agree, man. You know, you're in transitional period. You're going to go somewhere, test new waters, do this, do that. I'm excited for you. I'm re-motivated. I'm going to a new show, new location, fighting a new cage. You know, be a different announcer here, a different voice. Everything's going to be different. So it's a new chapter of my life, man. I'm going to do well, and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to go back to Boston, you know, train with Kenny, Mark, and LaGrady, which Team City of Tong, which I found my new home. I love being there. And I can't wait to move on and do my job at Strikeforce. And if I go to Pride in May or whatever, the new dream, whatever they have there, I go there. And if I go back to the UFC, I go back there. But Rich is excited. Rich was happy for me that I was actually jobless for less than 15 minutes. So, you know, I should be very grateful for that. But deep down, you know that I can't hide and say it's all dandy and it's all great because it hurts you, you know, man. It hurts your pride, you know, it hurts you. You don't want to be let go. You don't want to be released. You always want to improve and get better, but life is like this, man. It just keeps throwing curveballs, and you can't let it get you down. That's what life does, and I'm never going to let it get me down. I'm never going to stop.
And I'm sure regardless of where you fight, people are going to watch. With your track record, people are going to want to watch you fight. There's going to be no shortage of George Gurdjieff fans checking in.
No. Yeah, but there will be, I promise you that, there will be a shortage of George Gurdjieff critics.
Okay.
Because I promise you that. I'm going to start mixing up. And everybody wants to see my jiu-jitsu so
yes.
bad. Now the demand is so huge, I will show you, bitches. Now the demand is so big about it because I cannot hear anymore. Please, George, show us the jiu-jitsu. Teach so many good people. Your students are so good. You train people all over the world. Why don't you just... You know, what do you say, preach, or do you practice what you preach? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, why don't you just practice what you preach and show some jiu-jitsu? Fine, I will. You know, I'm going to go back and do a lot of jiu-jitsu, mix it up a little, forget about my having so much fun striking and fight smarter fights, and I'm going to put some critics to be silent for a while and get some wins, not so interesting in hardcore crazy fights. We'll get to meet some people and move on forward.
Was part of the reason that you chose to have more stand-up fights an effort to win the fight of the night bonus? Was that motivation?
No, never was, never. All the fans or anybody that's ever followed my career, they know that I've never fought for money. It's never been about money. You know, I would have been rich if I cared so much about money because my school is one of the biggest schools in the country. I make no money because I let everybody train for free. It's ridiculous. But it's fun. I have so much fun. I've been doing Muay Thai for 8 years and Jiu-Jitsu for double that, for 16. So I kind of got somewhat, I teach so much that I got a little bit burned out. And in the heat of the moment, my body is just built like that in my mind. I have so much fun standing up and always think that I'm winning regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've never been hurt. So I think that I'm winning. And when in the heat exchange happens and we're in the heat of the moment and there's a head kick or I land a shot and I see the crowd going, wow, that's the high that I look for in the fight. So I'm having the greatest fun ever. And when the 3 rounds are over, I realize that I might have lost. Then it hits me. Like, oh, my God, I cannot believe it just happened. That happened to Mark Hominick. I totally thought I won the fight. And with Aaron Riley, it was iffy. But I was like, man, I'm not hurt. He kicked me in the neck one time. That was the hardest kick I've ever been kicked in the neck. But I'm totally fine. I wild footwork him and out moving him. I took him down the second round. I was like, this fight is very close. But I don't think like that. I'm having so much fun. If people are like, George, you can make your career so much easier on yourself if you use what you're good at, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, my sports psychiatrist tells me, all the time, right? He goes, your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, highly decorated, but if you don't use any Jiu-Jitsu, you're just as good as the guy that knows nothing.
True. That's a good point.
And he tells me this every time. Every time he goes, I know, Brian. And he goes, a guy that's great at something that you don't use it, you're just as good as a guy that knows nothing. And that stuck to my head. And all it is that I have to turn the switch and learn how to have some more fun with jiu-jitsu as well. And I think that's the right time. So I'm going to mix it up a little. I'm going to go do a little standing, a little jiu-jitsu. I'm going to keep people guessing. And it's going to be a new guy coming in, man. And I'm not going to dwell over being released. I don't read the forums. I'm sure there's people that are crucifying me, and I'm sure there's a lot of people on my side and supporting me. I have great fan base. I have a lot of people that believe in me. But I don't want to get caught. You know, people hurt my feelings sometimes. I don't like reading bad things. I put so much effort into teaching so many people, so much effort into coaching my guys, Matt Brown, Hazlett, you know, Dorian Price. All have 8, 9 UFC guys in my gym. And you go in there, and I train so hard, and you put my ass on the line, fight 100%, and have somebody later criticize you or say bad things about you. I don't really like reading that, so I'm not an internet forum reader. Mm-hmm. I just want to take care of my career and make my students proud of me, and that's my main goal, to make myself proud now more than anything. And, you know, it's the next chapter, it's Strikeforce, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
You mentioned the Riley and the Mark Hominick fights. Were there any specific fights that you disagreed with the judges' decisions on?
No, I definitely disagree with Mark Hominick, yes.
Yeah, you thought that was your fight?
I knew that was my fight. And right after that fight, not only Mark Hominick got released, but they changed the rules. If your fighter in the UFC now turns the back away from the combat and runs away, even for 1 second and turns back around, you automatically get 1 point deducted.
Really?
Okay. You cannot flee. You cannot flee from combat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if you run, you can move your feet, you can do footwork and circle around, but if you turn your back and run and come back, you got a point deducted. You cannot avoid combat. And Mark ran in the fight 4 straight times. Not only ran, I mean, he sprinted. That should have brought my Nike shots. You know, so I thought in that fight, I liked Mark a lot. You know, Hominick, and he fought a smarter fight. Like I said, he got a win, right? But he did not beat me in the fight, and I thought I beat him in the fight. But like I said, I'm not a sore loser. You know, I lost a decision to Riley. He razor thinned me maybe in the second and the third round, and won 2 rounds out of 3. And that's it. It is what it is. I don't talk bad about fighters. I don't disrespect fighters. I don't call fighters out. I'm a fighter myself, so I like to get the respect and give respect to the people that have the same job as I do. And I made mistakes, and I keep evolving. It's just the beginning for me. I'm healthy. You know, my knees are great. My hips, my back's fine. There's just a bone spur in my elbow. I'll be fighting in no time. And, you know, you're just as good as your last fight. So I'm sure when I'm having my next great performance, the fans and the critics are going to jump on my side again, and I'll be okay.
You mentioned training Dustin Hayes. What do you think about his performances of late? His jiu-jitsu has been off the charts. Are you responsible for some of that?
I'm responsible for all of it, brother. What are you talking about? He's my kid. He's my black belt. So Dustin is what do you call the ultimate student. Dustin's got no ego whatsoever. He's always willing to learn. And if I can sit down everywhere I go, when I go to Matt Hume, which is a great training camp, I love being there, Matt in Seattle also, and I learn all that stuff, I come back, and the first person I teach is Dustin. First person I show stuff is Dustin. When I go do repetitions of the new things that I'm learning, is Dustin. He's always out for learning, and if I say, Dustin, sit here and do this 50 times, he will sit and he'll do it 50 times. If I say, do 100 times, he'll do 100 times. I have purple belts, blue belts, professional fighters with little records, not in the UFC, that don't have that kind of work ethic. Dustin Hazlett made himself what he is, from listening, believing in his coach, and having one of the greatest work ethic, and outside I think of myself and Rich Franklin, he's got great work ethic. But Dustin has Dustin possesses that, and that made him the fighter he is today, man. He's a submission master. I coached and I trained and I developed one of the best black belts around for MMA or black belt period that I'm very proud of what he has accomplished. And he's not the only one. I have John Stutzman, who's also a great black belt. Mike Pett's a great black belt. But Dustin's the one making all the noise right now. He's doing well, but he deserved everything, and he's just a good student. And he's collecting dividends from years of training.
So, and you'll still be cornering the guys in the UFC, like you know, like obviously Rich Franklin and Dustin Hazlett. You'll still be with them when they're fighting?
Yes, of course. I don't think the UFC dislikes me. I love everybody there. Yeah, Rich is going to be cornering me at Strikeforce, and I'm going to be cornering him at UFC.
What do you think about his fight with Dan Henderson?
I think Rich Franklin is Rich Franklin, and he always finds a way to win. He's going to be fine.
Okay. Did you speak with anybody else in that short interim period? Was it basically just Strikeforce, or did you talk with Affliction or anybody in Japan?
Mainly, you know, I wanted that's the first time somebody asked me this question. Monty said very simply, we contacted Strikeforce. I talked to my manager, said, listen, there was a possibility of the UFC releasing me. He goes, I don't think so, but we'll see. I said, Monty, I know how it is. You know, I lost twice in a row, even though I got fired tonight. People here love me. The UFC is my home or whatnot. Let's get prepared. And he goes, okay. He got in contact with Strikeforce because Strikeforce has good relationships with the UFC. Apparently, Dana and the UFC do not like Affliction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get in the mix where I'm going to a place where the UFC doesn't like and start probably having the possibility of getting blacklisted, okay. You know, or not knowing when I fight. And Strikeforce goes, the first option, right off the bat, Monty called him and goes, are you guys shopping around for him? And Monty goes, I don't want to. I really don't want to put George out in the market and shopping around for all of this. I just want him to be happy. And I think he'll be happy here. So I talked to Mike, I believe, from Strikeforce. He called me. I was very excited. He was very, paid a lot of attention. He was very nice to me, very cordial, very respectful, polite. Did an interview, put a press release. You know, I was treated very well right off the same day that I got released, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very, Mike said, I don't want to shop for George. You know, if you guys give me a contract that me and George would be happy. And they offered a great contract right off the bat. And I was fine. I was having within 15 minutes of release. So,
Can I ask how many fights you're signed for with Strikeforce?
Three.
Okay. So now, overall, looking back on it, you know, or I shouldn't say looking back on it, looking forward on everything that's gone down in the past few days, where do you see yourself in the next 1 to 2 years?
One to 2 years?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see so much like that. Gary, I don't think like that. I think the next 200 yards ahead of me.
Okay.
And the next 100 yards, next 200. Always, what's the next thing? Next thing for me right now is rehab my elbow and get in fight shape as soon as possible. That's my goal.
Okay.
After that, it's schedule fight with Strikeforce. That's my goal. Find an opponent, a name, a location, and a date. Show up and fight. After that, there's the next fight. All I know is that in 2 years, I will still be fighting, you know, hopefully have a title, you know, a world title, Strikeforce or whatever it is under my belt. But if I don't, I'll be fighting for one, or I'll be trying to fight for one, or I can be back in the UFC, who knows. But I have a lot of fighting. Fighting is what motivates me to get up every morning, have a training camp, the competition aspect of it, and teaching people. So I'm not even close to being done. And I feel like it's just a new beginning for me, and I'm re-energized to do it, man.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'd like to thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time. It's holiday weekend. Wish you the best of luck coming up with Strikeforce, and hopefully we'll talk to you more along the way.
Thanks for your time, too, man. I appreciate it. Thank you, bro.